Niwaambie watu hapa hii maneno na kuangalia kama si hapo ungekuwa kupiga la sabuni ya last week. Mbona hatufanisha? Wow. Your heart must not be troubled, believe in God, believe also in me, verse 2. Tebeta mimi baka verse 3. In my father's house are many dwelling places. If not, I would have told you, I am going away to prepare a place for you. Verse 3, family. If I go, Rabbi, you will be fasting. You walk with me. If I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come back and receive it myself, so that where I am, you may be also. You know the way where I am going. Verse 5. Lord, Thomas said, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Verse 6. Tunaenda niko nabi. Nikimaliza nendelea kumwambia kumwambia pana. Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Verse 7. If you know me, you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Lord, said Philip, show us the Father, and that's enough for us. So Philip is saying, show us the Father, that's enough. So it means whenever you've seen the Father, it's enough. Show us the Father, that is enough for us. Verse 9. Can we read together? Jesus said to him, have I been among you all this time without you knowing me? So Jesus is actually saying, I am the Father. You get that? Are we together? Show us the Father, that's enough for us. Then Jesus said, I've been with you all this time, but you've not known me, Philip. The one who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? So in short, Jesus was saying, I am the Father. So if you read for John chapter, verse 1, it says, believe in God, believe also in me. I go to my Father. And Jesus said, I've been with you all this time. I am the Father. Let's go to verse 11. Actually, go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, Robbie will get us there, verse 20.
John chapter.
Scripture says, I start from verse 19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, this is John chapter 5, yes. Jesus answered to them, most assuredly I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he's doing, and he will show him greater works than this, so that you will be amazed. He will show him greater works than this, that you'll be amazed. Look at this. Let's read that scripture. For the Father loves the Son and shows him what? Everything he is. Then he says, and he will show him greater works than this, so that you will be
amazed.
So everything the Father is doing is showing the Son. Scripture says, Hebrews verse 19 of John chapter 5. Verse 19 says, then Jesus answered and said, most assuredly I say unto you, the Son can do nothing. Then Jesus replied, I assure you, the Son is not able to do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. So it means what Jesus was doing is what the Father was doing. Are we together? So, for whatever the Father does, the Son also does the things, these things, the same, in the same way. Can I blow your mind? So, does it mean when Jesus died on the cross, the Father died on the cross? Because the Son is not doing what the Father is not doing. The Son is doing what the Father is doing. Then Jesus replied, I assure you, the Son is not able to do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing, for whatever the Father does, the Son also does these things in the same way. So it means when Jesus was saying, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, whatever Philip was asking of, they were looking to get from the Father, Jesus was already doing it. It was a replica. It was just direct. So, kila kitu ni God amefanya. Yesu amefanya. Yesu alifanya kitu ni God amefanya. So, kufa msalabani kumaanisha ilikuwa God amefanya. By the time Jesus was dying on the cross, God had already died on the cross. Amen. Are we together? Let's continue. Let's continue verse 21 of John chapter 5. I'm trying to progress. So when Jesus says in John chapter 14, yes. When you're saying, if you believe in God, believe also in me. I want to show you something. And just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so the Son also gives life to anyone he wants to. So just like the Father gives life, the Son also gives life the same. Let's go to verse 22. The Father, in fact, judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son. God, sir, I'm trying to address a mindset that your simple mind has to judge. Says the Father judges no one. He has given all the judgment to the Son. Are we together? Are we together?
Yeah.
And let's go to verse 23. So that all people will honor the Son. So the judgment of the Son, the judgment God gave to the Son, is that all people should honor the Son. Are we together?
Yeah.
So what Jesus did was that men should honor him. Just as they honor the Father, if you believe in God, believe also in me. If you believe in God, believe also in me. Anyone who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So it means when I believe in God, I have to acknowledge I have believed in Jesus. Without which, I will not be able to say that I have honored the Father. Are we together? Now, qualifying a statement, believing God should lead you to believing Jesus. Because what we say, this is God, we are not saying it apart or away from what Jesus is. I'm trying to go faster, a little bit slower. Let's go to verse 24. I assure you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sends me. So the Father, if you don't believe in Jesus, it means you don't believe in him who sends Jesus. Right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So if I believe in him, you will not perish. For this reason, the Son of Man did not come to condemn the world, but through him, the world may receive eternal life. So when you look at that, you find the sending of Jesus was for us to believe in the Father. And believing in the Father, in which we have believed in Jesus, we have received eternal life. So he said, I assure you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me. So how are we going to believe God? By hearing the word of Jesus. If you believe in me, if you believe in God, believe also in me. How am I going to believe in God? By hearing the word of Jesus. Then he says, I believe him who sent me has eternal life. Once again, Romans chapter 10. How do we get eternal life? By believing the gospel that God has raised Christ from the dead. We believe it in our heart. We confess that Jesus is Lord. And we will not come under judgment, but has passed from death to life. So what was the judgment of the Son? Passing you from death to life. The Father has given the judgment to the Son. But an angel, he was saying, man, a lot of jury cases. 200 million, the bishop, so whatever you're judging, I'm becoming a young guilty. Judgment is wise. No. The judgment here is passing Sophie, obviously, not Sophie here, passing Sophie from death to life. That is the judgment. That is the judgment. And he's saying, send me has eternal life and will not come under judgment, but has passed from death to life. Let's go to verse 25. I assure you, an hour, King James says, an hour. Yes. An hour is coming. Not just now, I'm sitting on another challenge. How? An hour is coming. Oh, that is verse 24.
Yeah.
Moses should I say to you, you hear my word, no, verse 25, sorry. Verily I say to you, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son, they that hear shall live. An hour is coming. You remember in, don't remember, you've read, John chapter 4, verse 24, 25, says, the hour is coming where true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And he is saying, the hour is coming and now is now here when the day shall hear the voice. So when he's talking about the hour is, let's go to Isaiah chapter 28. Lord, and so many Old Testament, the same way Pastor Brian New Testament. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 18. We became pregnant. We withered in pain. And we got in James. We have been with child, we have been in pain, we have, as it were, brought forth wind. Like, we have brought forth wind, we have not shown any deliverance in earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Let's go back to HSCB. We have become pregnant, we are in pain. We gave back to win. We have won no victories on earth, and the earth's inhabitants have not fallen. Let's go to verse 19. You are dead, we live. Their bodies will rise, awake and see. You who dwell in the dust, for you will be covered with the morning dew, and the hour will bring forth departed spirits. Let's continue. Go, my people, enter your rooms and close the doors behind you. Hide for a while until the wrath has passed. Go hide until the wrath has passed. Let's continue. Verse 21. For look, the Lord is coming from his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their what? So the Lord is coming to punish the inhabitants of the earth for what? What we've read before, who is going to give judgment? Jesus, right? So Jesus is coming to punish the earth with iniquity. How is the punishment of the earth going to happen? Those who believed will have the judgment. Those who have believed will have passed from the death sentence to life. So the punishment of iniquity is transferring you from death to life. I told you last Sunday, yes, I can get time, I can get Kufa. And in the Kufa, where we wish. One is pure. Now, you understand, when you go to the hey, because I will go to the Kufa, come on, faith to be born, I'm sure I'm going. The victory of Jesus is in his death. Then he says, the earth will reveal the bloodshed on it and will no longer conceal her slain. So, when I come to conceal, we conceal the kama, So, inasema, inchi ama ardhi, the earth revealed the bloodshed on it and will no longer conceal her slain. So, who was slain?
Jesus.
Who was slain?
Jesus.
Who was slain?
Jesus.
Behold the lamb that was slain. Who was slain?
Jesus.
Jesus was slain, right? So if Jesus was the one that was slain, he says, the earth revealed the bloodshed. When they were taking sacrifice, what was being poured as a sacrifice? Damn, see you?
Yeah.
In the same manner, Andi itafunua waga damu. Na hapo ardhi haitaweza kufinilia ama kufunika ama kuzuia. Yes. Sijui kama mnanipata. So the earth, I told you today we are cruising. The bloodshed on it and will no longer conceal her slain. It will no longer keep hold. So Jesus will no longer be as human the way he was in incarnation. So it will no longer be limited. Are we together? So, for look, the Lord is coming from his place to punish. He's coming from his place to punish. How is he coming to punish? He's going to be slain as a lamb. And as he's been slain, he's going to save people. And how is he going to save people? By him not being concealed in one place. But those days, they had to wait Jesus at a certain place so that he can pass. Today, we don't wait for Jesus at a certain place. So he's no longer concealed in that incarnation, in that happening place. As one who is incapacitated to go to different sites or locations. Hallelujah. John chapter 5. Let's go back to John chapter 5. Amen. Long time you lose from me. I'm not going to keep here. I'm not going to keep here. I'm not going to keep here. Chapter 14, verse 19. Sorry. Let's go to verse 17 last time. Let's go to verse 17. John chapter 14, verse 17. I was putting something, laying something so that you can understand. John chapter 14, verse 17. He is the spirit of truth. We say the spirit of truth is the spirit of reality. The world is unable to receive him because it does not see him or know him. So in this place, Jesus has resurrected. So the world is not able to see him. Remember, the earth will no longer conceal him. Are we together? He's no longer the way he used to be. He's no longer that child of Mary. When you are going to sanamu wameonyesha miliona rosina repost kituwa guru. Ati unalilia mbele ya Maria. You're wasting time. So he says, he is the spirit, he is the reality. The world is unable to receive him. So the world, that's what happens to the world, people in the church, when Maria, wanataka kitu ya kuona. So kiamini ukitaka kitu ya kuona, ndio uamini Mungu, maanisha wewe na the world, what's up, good morning. The world is unable to receive him because it does not see him nor know him. But you know him because he remains with you and will be in you. So, hajalimitiwa tena again because of what? Every believer is a Jesus in the world. Let's go to verse 18. Amen. Mona narakisha leo. I will not leave you as orphans. I am coming to you. So, who is coming? He says, I will not do what? Leave you as orphans. So it shows us that Jesus did not actually leave. Are we together? Saying, I will not leave you as orphans. I am coming to you. So when he left, that is, he died. When we say this person is an orphan, it means that the parents have done what? The earthly parents of that world have died, right? So, like a good example is my wife. My wife, she's an orphan. And we can only qualify orphanage or being an orphan by the fact that your parents are not existing, right? So, I will not leave you as orphan. Jesus is pointing and saying, I am going to die. But my dying is my coming. I am coming to you. So in my dying is when I'm coming to you. The world will no longer see him. He lives in you. So the reason why Jesus died was so that he can come and live in you. Let's go to verse 19. Amen. Meshikashika ino tukusana. Aswene kitumia. Let's try. In a little while, the world will see me no longer, but you will see me because I live, you will live too. So how is a believer saying, I am alive? I will not leave you as orphans. I am coming to you. So Jesus' death, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14, you can do 14, 15, 16, 17 says, if Christ has not risen, then our faith is empty. So Jesus was going to die, so that in his coming, living in us, we can be alive. John chapter 5, what we've read right now. Let's go to John chapter 5, verse 21. Robust a lot of the number those scriptures know. So, raisisha mkono. John chapter 5. And just as the Father raises who? When you got born again, when you received Jesus, what did you say? I believe that God has done what? Has raised Jesus from the dead. Just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so the Son also gives life to anyone who he wants to. So it means as the Father rose Christ from the dead, he rose him and he became life to us. And that is how the Son gives us life. Amen. Verse 22. John chapter 5, verse 22. The Father, in fact, judges no one. Let's go to verse 24. Verse 24. I assure you, anyone who hears my word and believes him, who sent me has eternal life. And will not come under judgment, but has passed from death to life. So this king who is coming is coming to judge the world, is coming to judge iniquity, and this judgment is to save man. So the judgment of God, the wrath of God, is the salvation of man. The wrath of God is God showing his love to him. So, you remember last time we said, okay, the situation is going to share a kitu, but manisha, there's something missing somewhere. God's judgment is to save man. Are we together? So he says, he's coming, he will be slain, blood will be shed, and he will no longer be concealed in a, be limited in this place. And in this place, we are receiving life. Let's go to verse 25, Robi. I assure you, an hour is coming. So now he's actually talking about the hour that is coming. That hour that is coming is our hour of this crucifixion. I will not leave you as orphans, but I will be coming to you. So I will not leave you as orphans, because when I'm done, when I die, it's my coming to you. Sawasawa. Are we together? Let's go to verse 26. John chapter 5, verse 26. For just as the Father has life in himself, so also he has granted to the Son to have life in himself. Because I live, John chapter 14, because I live, you live also. John chapter 14, I think verse 14. John chapter 14, verse 14. Verse 19. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you live also. Amen? Because I live, you live also. So, what I'm trying to qualify here is when Jesus says, I am coming to you, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is Jesus coming to you. The comfort that we have is we are not orphans. The comfort that we have is we don't have a moment where we are missing the Father. We are constantly with the Father, in the Father, working for the Father. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. We now welcome you, Lord, in our Lord, Nassie Stream. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when we say the reality, so what is it that Jesus said? The Father has sent me to do. It is the works, right? So what was the works of Jesus? To die on the cross, to judge the world, and bring salvation to men, right? So this dying on the cross, that judgment to the world, what we've seen in Isaiah, is what orchestrated us to come to a place of receiving the Holy Spirit. So the Comforter is the work of the Father. Amen. Remember, I said there's no second experience. When you got born again, you've received the Holy Spirit. I've got a second experience. That's just human way of putting things in perspective, so that what feel over deep. What does it feel? But when you come born again, the reason why you're born again is because you have the Holy Spirit. We looked at Romans chapter 8, verse 15, Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. We looked at all this and saying, when we receive the Spirit, Romans chapter 8, verse 14 and 15, we receive the Spirit of adoption, crying out on the Father. So the reason why we say we are born again is because we receive the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, which has been our foundational scripture. I will come back to that. Thank you. So, the truth is, when let's go to John chapter 14, verse 21. The one who has my commandments and keep them is the one who loves me. So what was the commandments of Jesus? The commandments of Jesus, there I'm a bit fast. The commandment of Jesus is what he began in John chapter 14. If you believe in God, believe also in me. When you look at commandment, also, President, so if you really come, go. No. When you read the word commandment as a believer, it's an instruction. So the one who has my instructions and keeps them is the one who loves me. How do we know that you love God? By believing the word. How will you believe in God? By believing in the word of Jesus, him who God has sent. Him who God has sent. So, and the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. I also will love him and will reveal myself to him. How does God reveal himself to us? How does Jesus reveal himself to us? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7. And so from verse 6, I was made a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace that was given. Mm-hmm. The Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body, and partners of the promise in Christ Jesus through them. So how we partners with Christ Jesus? Through the gospel. So these Gentiles, scripturally, a Gentile is an unbeliever. Scripturally, a Gentile the Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body. So, if you read that starting, let's start from verse 5. This is was not made known to people in other generation, as it is now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by what? So, what we are reading is a revelation of what the apostles and the prophets have received by the Spirit. That same Spirit resides in you. Are we together? So, what has the Spirit revealed? Let's go to verse 6. That the Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body, and partners of the promise in Christ Jesus. So, it means that. You remember Isaiah, what I read? Jesus is no longer concealed as a Jew. Jesus is no longer concealed as an Israeli. He's concealed for every believer. So even unbelievers are co-heirs. How are they going to be co-heirs? Basia Musho, through the gospel. Are we together? Let's go to verse 8. Oh, that's verse 7. Thank you, verse 7. I was made a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace that was given to me by the working of his power, verse 8. So it means when you receive this gospel, you are a servant. You have to serve it. How am I going to serve it? By preaching it. This grace was given to me, the least of all saints, to proclaim. This is a statement I love telling most of the preachers I give to them. I'm the least of the saints. To proclaim to the Gentiles the incalculable riches of the Messiah. So this gospel that we preach is the incalculable. You cannot fathom, you cannot calculate, you cannot put together. Where is the limit? Your gospel, you're in order to explain here the riches that we have in Christ Jesus. Are we together? So when I want to know who I am, what God has done, how the indwelling of the Spirit is in my life, I look at the gospel. Remember Jesus saying, the Son does nothing except what he sees the Father do. How do we see what the Father is doing? By reading the gospel. So when I'm full of the Spirit, I have the nature of God. I have to duplicate the life of God on this earth. So when I'm sitting down, I have to know I am a child of God. Not just a child of God, I have the nature of God. Not just the nature of God, the fullness of God. So my tabia and doing things should reflect that nature of God. Amen. So when you realize that, you realize that I'm constantly full of the Spirit. Our statement, I am full, now that I am born again, I am full of the Spirit. So that you don't say, you know, maybe, no, he's already there. Take advantage of him. Walk in that reality. Look at things differently. Look at things differently. Open for me, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. We go up to 8. Not my particular scriptures, maybe. So I'm going to project it finally in our name. Hey, Jesus. I'm not going to go by you. When I see you, I'm project that to make by you. I tell that in the same spirit. So, desolation. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. Kukumani.
He refused.
1 Timothy chapter 3. Timotheo chapter 3. I'll start from verse. Let's start from verse 1. Oh, go Ephesians. God bless you.
No.
1 Timothy chapter 3 says, this is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires good work. A bishop then must be blameless, a husband of one wife, temperament, soberness. I will go faster on that. First Timothy chapter 3. I'll start from verse 14. These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. So this godliness, Paul is writing about how you need to conduct in a church. And great is the mystery of godliness. He says, God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit. So God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by the angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. That's 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. So the mystery that was hidden, the mystery that was there, is the manifestation of God in the flesh and justification in the spirit seen by the many angels. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. I'm almost there. I like it. No, verse 13. First Corinthians or Second Corinthians. Yes, Second Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. Remember the Second Corinthians? I want us to read together that. Have you opened your Bible? Me, I've opened mine. Can we read your version first as we are waiting for it? Let's read together. The grace and the love of God, I'm only hearing across you. Let's read together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. So he's saying, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We have the grace of God because of what God did. Grace is undeserved favor, right? Are we together? So if it's undeserved, it's because Christ did for us. Christ went ahead and did everything for us. So when he says, may the grace of God be upon you, may this reality be upon you as you continue communing with this Holy Spirit. You get that? So that when I am feeling low, I commune with the Holy Spirit. Hence the reason why I tell people, learn to pray in tongues more. Paul says, I pray in tongues more than you all. Howbeit, I also pray in understanding. So the reason why you pray in tongues is not just you're actually strengthening yourself, taking advantage of the grace of God upon your heart. Amen. Amen. Have you loved the spirit? One more scripture, then we are done. Psalms chapter 24. Amen. My Sunday checklist, Bible, not book and pen.
Psalms 14.
Psalms 24. A hungry heart. Is it Psalms 24? I mean Psalms 24. Let me check. Yes, Psalm 24. We're going to do the entire Psalms. And very fast. Not men are very fast. The everything in it, the world and its inhabitants belongs to the Lord. Remember Isaiah? Okay, let's continue. We are going very fast. Let's pray together verse 2. For he lay on the seas. I can't hear you. Verse 3, let's pray together. Who ascended the mountain of the Lord? So this is a question. Who will? Just don't move there with your physical Bible. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. What were you chapter 4 by here? Romans, page. Romans 10, can you read verse 6 together in your own version? Romans 10, but the righteousness of faith. Verse 7. Is it related with this scripture? Huh? Is it related? Is it related? Who may ascend? He says here, who will ascend into the heaven? Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Who will ascend to the abyss? Let's go to Deuteronomy in your own version. In your own version, Deuteronomy chapter 13, from verse 12. Don't want to just put your meaning and you are reading a cycle of 86,000, which is good. Deuteronomy 30. Deuteronomy, is it okay for Robin? Deuteronomy 30, let's start from verse 12. Can we read together? It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend to heaven for us and bring to us that we may hear it and do it, nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it, but the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart that you may do it. So, let's go to verse 4. I was just giving you different references in the Old Testament so that you can relate to the New Testament. Let's continue, Robin. The same, sir. Oh, Umeshafika. The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not set his own mind on what is false, and who has not sworn deceitfully. Who has not sworn deceitfully. Why do we say something is wicked or of deceit? It's because it's not having truth. So, when he says, who has not set his mind on what is false? John chapter 8, verse 44. from the beginning, we know the devil has been lying. He's the father of lies. So who has not set his mind on what the devil is telling him? Who has not sworn based on that lie? Let's continue, Robin. He will receive blessings from the Lord and righteousness from God of his. So when you've not believed the devil and you've believed the truth, what are you receiving? Come on, judge. He will receive blessing from whom? Blessed be the Lord God who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So he will receive that blessing that God has said. When God told Abraham, in blessing, I will bless you. And in multiplication, I will multiply you. He said, he will receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. So it means the God who saves is the one who is going to give us blessing, is the one who is going to give us the righteousness we need. Let's continue. Robbie, tell me something again. Because of time. Hope you're learning something today. You know, I'm cruising your back. Hope you're learning something today. You go sit down and sober and ask questions. Please, my WhatsApp box is open. You can ask questions. You can send us a message. Such is the generation of those who seek him. Who seek the face of God of Jacob? Selah. Verse 7. So this generation is the generation that is not standing on falsehood, on deceit, but they have believed and received a blessing. So he says, lift up your heads. You guests, rise up and shield us. Then the King of Glory will come. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, mighty in battle. It's continuing, verse 8, sorry, because I'm talking to you. Verse 8, who is the King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Let's continue verse 9. Lift up your heads, you get rise up, angels, then the King of Glory will come in. A little while, you'll not see me, but after a little while, you'll see me. So he says, the one will not receive because they don't know me. So it means the King of Glory entering us is us receiving the Spirit of God. Lift up the everlasting doors, be ye lifted up, and let the King of Glory enter in. How are we letting the King of Glory enter in? Believing the message. It says, those who have not believed in deceit and falsehood, the Lord will bless them. The Lord will give them righteousness. And this righteousness is by allowing the King of Glory enter in. Let's go to verse 11. It is verse 10. Who is the King of Glory? Oh, change it to King James. What about King James? Who is the King of Glory? Who is the King of Glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of Glory. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Son cannot do anything except what he sees the Father do. When Philip asked, show us the Father, and that will be enough. So it means what Philip was asking is, reveal to us the Father, and that is enough. And revealing the Father to us is by us believing the message. When we believe the message, we embrace the life of God. When we embrace the life of God, the King of Glory enters in. So that King of Glory, amen, is Jesus residing in you. And that is what we say, the Comforter is in me. Are we together? The Comforter is in me. When the Comforter is in me, he's crying, he's responding to this nature that I am not an orphan. That's why I'm comforted. He has not left me. That's why I'm comforted. I am still his child, irrespective of everything. I am comforted. I can boldly get into a place and say, I am a son of God, irrespective of the circumstances. I don't need procedures. Amen. My conduct, he says, this is how you should behave in church. The gospel should define your conduct in church. The gospel, the dying on the cross, the humility of Jesus on the cross should define your conduct as a believer. But look at that woman there. In our overdose level, shall put that woman there until when God speaks. Because from next Sunday, we begin another series. Amen. Amen. I'm so looking forward. Najua, walikuwa na bahati na Jonathan, nilimwambia jana, God has impressed in my heart to keep off another series. And I've been creating hints as we continue. Amen. It's called the calling of church. So we are going to walk through the book of Corinthians. Amen. Amen. I'm going to gather to my the Goliath in your life must die. Or is it? Chris, Nyanzi is on my sambo. When I get in the report, man, you hear some more. I'm looking. I'm so my office. So you put in a new on a kit. So you can do this. Work in the airport, Fred, when I'm going to put in a new layer on a kit. We'll be alive. As if we're a virus in a facet. So put in a new layer. So come up on a kit. Ukuje na nywele yako, kama ukuje kinyoa nywele yote, ukuje na nywele yako, na kichwa. So nikajiuliza, so kichwa yangu ibebe kichwa yangu, aje. Alafu na kuna mpenyo, tunafaa kuingia. Nikasema, it is well, it is well, amen. See, I love you guys. I love you guys. You know, it takes me an entire month to prepare things. Every single day. So, I said now, Kanga, the Lord has spoken. Oh, the Lord has spoken.
James,
I feel today we're going to do as that. No. One thing is, when you grow in a systematic teaching, you grow stronger. When you grow in a rampant system, you'll always be a baby. You'll only notice when you find mature people around you. That you're a believer. Right now, there are people who probably, even pastors, are pulling crowd, but when you see them, you realize you're mature. Maturity is not how many people you're pulling, it's how true is this word to you. How is it? It's not the reality of, see, nikiombea mtu hapa, kiwenda pone, atinime mature. No. Maturity is the understanding. For this reason, the Son of Man can give us understanding. That we may know Him that is true. And if we know this is God and it's true, we are in Him. And if you are moving to a point, see, if you are moving to a point, you are moving to a point. You are moving to a point. And you are moving to a point. 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 So you will. You will wait for those messages. No one pastor is probably during an anniversary. He might come to preach. She might come to preach. And she looked at me. By the way, I'm writing a book. Help me go through, check 2-3 things. I'm waiting for her to give me feedback. Because that second book is heavy. I'm thinking about giving it out. But it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work in place. Amen. So just know that we value you, we love you. And we want you to be lovable. I'm getting to the app and I talk about lovable. Upon is a pendeka. Upon is a pendeka by fast. When are your checklist? So I'm going to give a checklist. Nimekumbuka. Tutaongeza mtu mbili. Ile yenye kwa logo.
Sawa.
So, I think you got, Rosemary, you can give, you can share on the envelopes as we talk. This is my Sunday checklist. And I literally do that. You know, before I minister, times I send a message. I send my offering email on Saturday intentionally. I do that intentionally so that when I come, I know I have given offering. I start from down. You get that? But that is me, Donna. I want you to have this, whether you are here or wherever you are, that when I'm going to church, I have to make sure I have my Bible, right? I have my book. I have my pen. You know that is not allowed. I have my pen. I have a receptive heart. I am open to receive. Then thirdly, the heart that I have towards the things of God is non-negotiable. I am focused on this. Then I have my offering. Where I'm going, I'm going to be blessed. I'm not going to tap into blessing. Can you get that? So that when you, I want to really to free your mind from being transactional. No. I want you to have an open mind that I'm going with an offering to give because I honor God and I love God. I want His job to work to continue. He said here, he said here, Melo, please. I need the envelope. Thank you. So, and two more things. I will keep time. I want to be the first one to come to church. Yeah? I will keep time. But as the wizard, what happens? Just purpose in your heart, I will be keeping time. I'll be a faithful giver. The reason why I challenge people to give their tithes is because I want you to create a good attitude towards me. I'm not scared of you to a tithe or spending it, but I want you to do it out of love, out of appreciation. Amen. 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 You are the church that God has brought together the church. Church is not an individual. Church is a gathering. Amen. But what grace on this man made the church, so in the church. They are babies. They are those who believe in deceit. Church is very important, no matter how big it is. When you are saying you go deep son of Jesus God, you can go up and plot. One who will get him by or realize you are deep in it. You could not do. So make it a priority. Challenge yourself. We talk when you want to begin, Chris, Fred. Hey, what are you saying? Can we be accountable to each other? We are family. Some, of course, affair the temporal situation. Let's love each other, let's celebrate each other, let's work with each other, let's challenge each other. That is how we go. Amen. Amen. I just wanted to share this with you so that I can, as I welcome my banners, we finish everything. Yes, I don't know if he has announced me. We finish everything as an addition today. But your week is blessed. Amen.
Amen.
It's a glorious season. It's a glorious season. Father, we receive these gifts. We receive every time. If you give your time or your gift.